Turning now to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12 and verse 31. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verse 31. The words of Christ, "But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." And our subject is the universal human quest. Now, this verse follows the parable of the rich fool. And I remind you of just some of the verses of that. I read verse 21, the conclusion: "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich before God." And then verse 23, "The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment," more than just material things. And verse 29, "And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things." And then our text: "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." And yet, while we seek the kingdom of God, it's a gift. Verse 32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Well, the operative word in these last verses is seek, to look for, to crave in the Greek. Seek. All these things, material things, do people throughout the world, do the nations of the world seek after? But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God. It's about seeking. And you know, all of life, for everyone, is a matter of seeking. There is a universal human quest. It's not spoken about much these days. It used to be. Everybody used to know about the human quest. And in literature and in poetry, there's so much attention to the universal human quest, the great search of mankind. You don't hear about it these days. It's a concept which is slipping away. And it's a great shame that that's so. Sometimes, of course, it's only a quest for survival. If there is famine, if there is great uncertainty and need, if there are job losses everywhere and so on, well, people are concerned with survival, and all other needs tend to be swept out of mind. But generally speaking, there is a great human quest. You could almost visualize humanity like a vast cross-country race, bigger by far than the London Marathon or any of those marathons held in world capitals. Imagine in your mind a great rural scene, and there are crowds of people, millions of them, over every hill and valley that you can see, and they're all engaged in this vast race. That's humanity in a great quest, a looking for something. Now, some people and some poets and thinkers have decided that what we're looking for is something very noble. We're looking for things like brotherhood and equity and equal distribution of happiness and opportunity and things like this. But these are not the things that members of the human race are looking for. We might flatter ourselves and like to imagine that there are great and noble objectives and endeavours, but we're looking for far more earthly things. Oh yes, some people don't know what they're looking for. It's rather sad, but the quest is in everyone. They're looking for something. Whether they're just day to day trying to satisfy this emptiness or this tendency to have a void within by something they can find on television or some way in which they can indulge themselves. Everybody's searching, even if you can't put your finger on it. Even if you haven't thought enough to identify what your objective is, what it is you really want and really look for. We're a whole race of searchers, seekers, looking for something. That all humanity and all literature used to recognize, but for some strange reason, not anymore. But it's true of the entire human race. What are we looking for? Well, you may be looking for satisfaction. Oh, some satisfaction or fulfillment, some objective, something which can excite your being and give you a real purpose and a reason for being. Something that you want. You may have thought, you've identified what it is you want. You may have thought, that's what it is. If I can attain to that, if I can achieve that, if I can have that, then I'll have found satisfaction. It's not true, of course. You achieve what you think is your objective, you soon discover that there's something more that you want, something else. It doesn't, after all, satisfy or meet your need. It may be that for you, who knows, it may crystallize itself in this way. You want recognition. Some people it takes this form. You want appreciation. You want notice and applause and even honor and position. Now, without those things, you can never feel fulfilled or satisfied. That's what you want. And you're looking for it in this world. You've started on your trek, perfectly innocently and proper thing to do, perhaps, for you. But you've started by study and you've got your course mapped out before you. What's going to follow your present course, your examinations? What after that? What after that? But in the back of your mind, there's some high quest, maybe, some objective that will satisfy, that will make you really happy, that will fulfill your needs. May take you years, and it won't give you all the things you hoped for. And before you get there, if you get there, you'll begin to realize this isn't going to meet the needs I identified at first. And some people, well, they're looking for authority. It's rarer for people to articulate this, but they're looking for some authority. It's missing in life. Something to guide them firmly. Maybe a rank atheist, and maybe he's an eminent scientist, and he's taking refuge in the laws of science. Here's something certain and stable, which exercises some authority over me, which gives me channels in which to move. A longing, strange. Even with atheism, there's a longing for some authority, something which you can recognize and admire and respect. Or your desire to admire something or someone takes a different course. With many people, it's sadly trivial. They're busy admiring the stars of stage and screen and devouring all the gossip and everything they can see and every picture they can find and all the information they can get. That's sad. That's a trivial use of the human brain and mind and outlook. But that's the need for something to admire. We've got a yearning to admire something, have someone higher than ourselves. And then for others, it's just pleasure. It's a quest for self-indulgence and pleasure. Oh, if we can have excitement and pleasure to lift us up for some security and stability, you'll never find it in material things, but you'll have a good try. And then some people would like something clean. They react from all the uncleanness and the coarseness. But you never find anything clean outside of Christ and of God and the Christian faith. But that's what they're looking for, faintly. And some people, they just want to be able to say, I want something which is my own home, my own this, my own that, something which is mine, I can call my own. Of course, you can't ultimately have that, at least not for long. We're only here in this body for a short time. Anything you finally get which is your own, you're soon going to part with, and you can't take it with you, and you'll discover it isn't really yours for long anyway. But this is all this great quest is for something in all these different things. And we're searching for it and hunting for it in material things which can never give them, can never ultimately satisfy the human soul or make them happy. So you'll be brewing and stewing in your innermost being all your life in your quest, and you'll never find the things that really fulfill you and satisfy you and meet your requirements. You'll be restless, swapping one thing for another all your life. Dear friends, I don't want to be offensive, but there's nothing so naive as to think that there is ultimate satisfaction in material things, the things of this present world. Yet burns a fire within my breast that cannot quench and will not rest, said the poet. And so it will ever be, as far as material things are concerned, material life to the very end of the journey. Why? Why is this so? You can't argue with it. Ask the oldest person you know. The quest is still there. The fire may be dying out, but the desires are still unmet, unless that person has found Christ and has found the Lord and has found the faith, is in touch with God, learned how to pray, has all the power and blessing and satisfaction that comes with walking with him. Unless that's the case, the fire within burns in vain. Why? Because of the fall. The fall, you say? What's the fall? Everybody knew what the fall was 100 years ago. Most people knew what the fall was 50 or 60 years ago. Few people know what the fall is today. What's the fall? It's the explanation of man. It's the solution to why he is as he is. It is the profound solution to all human understanding. If you don't know about the fall, dear friends, you can't understand human life, human sin, human behavior, human emotions. You can't understand these things without the fall, that man has fallen from God and fallen out of his favor and sinned against him and rebelled against him. So back in time past, at the beginning of human history, he fell from the grace of God, and ever since he's been a sinner, alienated from God, not able to draw his happiness and his satisfaction from walking with the living God, running from God, escaping from God, putting all his trust in every conceivable alternative to God. The fall. That's the explanation. That's the reason for the great cross-country race, surging mass of humanity, struggling, running to some unknown destination, trying to find happiness and fulfillment in material things only, and all in vain. The explanation, friends, is the fall. And what we need is reconciliation with God. We need to be reconciled with him. And God has made a way. and Christ has made it possible for us to be reconciled with him. But as we are, we find it impossible, if almost, to believe in God. Why? Because he's invisible. And we are completely committed to things that are visible and touchable and possessible. And if they're not, we don't rate them. We don't believe in them. We don't want them. So we cannot have him. And we cannot find him. And we will not believe in him. We're half crazed. We're determined that material things are God. That's all. And they will meet our needs and satisfy the human soul. But of course, they won't. So we cannot have the forgiveness of God, because all our energy is invested in looking for our needs in this material world. So we cannot have the forgiveness of God. The forgiveness of God for all sin. The pardon of God, so that we can be related to him and know him and call upon him. The purging away of sin, the greatest thing any human being could possibly have. Sins forgiven, conscience cleansed. Dear friends, we cannot have it because we're searching in material things instead of looking to God. We cannot have union with God. We cannot have the new life which God would give us. Oh, he'd pour new life into us, spiritual life, so that we could pray and love God and be related to him, so that we could have that measure of power over sin, so that we could have an emancipated mind and understand the ways of God and the things of God and the word of God. All these blessings, we cannot have them because we're dedicated to material things, and we cannot have his help, and we cannot have an eternal destiny in heaven with God. We're deprived. We cannot have them because we're not looking to him. We're looking to this present vain world. And we cannot have truth, the truth about the world, why God has made it, what has happened to it, why we are as we are, the way to be saved, the way to walk with him, what his plans are for the future eternal glory. We cannot have these great things because we're looking to this material world. We cannot have peace. We cannot have rest in our souls. We cannot have power. We cannot have the gift of prayer. All the things we cannot have, we're deprived of. We cannot ultimately have intellectual satisfaction. We cannot have Christ, the best of all. We cannot have him and know him and belong to him and have him for our Saviour, because we're looking to this material world. How deprived we are. How tragic it is. Atheism takes away God. Atheism has trained you and programmed you to believe that there is no need for God. Atheism has taught you to think that perhaps, maybe, there is a way. This complex world has come into being without a designer or creator or a God. Maybe. They can't tell you how. They don't know how. Green men from far distant space is the latest scientific explanation, because the evidence is it couldn't have happened here. They found that much. But you believe that instead of looking to God, the obvious creator of all things. Seek ye first, says our text, seek ye rather the kingdom of God, and all other blessings will be added unto you. The kingdom of God. Time is going on. What's the kingdom of God? It's his rule. It's the domain, the realm of his glory. Seek the kingdom of God, to get into it, to belong to it, to have it, to enjoy it, Seek the kingdom of God. Did you know the kingdom of God is opposed to the kingdom of this material world? That's the fall. Man has fallen from God, seized his world, uses it against God, teaches against God, persuades people against God. There are two kingdoms, they're in opposition. The kingdom of God, which will have ultimate supremacy, and the kingdom of this material world, which is opposed to God and against God. They're enemies, they're hostile, says Christ. Seek the kingdom of God. They're so different. The kingdom of God you can trust because it's based on truth. There's no lie with God. All the things he promises, he surely gives and carries out. The kingdom of this world you cannot trust. It breaks its promises. It's a kingdom of deceit. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of obedience to God. You love him, you're his, you obey his word. The kingdom of this world is a kingdom of sin and disobedience to God. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of power. You pray and God hears and answers, and he changes your life, and he does astonishing things constantly. The kingdom of this world is a kingdom of weakness. It cannot change anyone's character. It cannot make things better, only worse. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of design. The kingdom of this world is a kingdom of disorder. Things that are out of order. Look at the world. Look at this great chessboard of a material world. Every move man makes is thwarted. Look at the complex international political situation. Everything anyone does for good seems to have so many implications for bad. Nations against each other, east-west blocks, now great religious blocks. Dear friends, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of order, the material world, a kingdom of disorder. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of love. The kingdom of this world is more a kingdom of lust. The kingdom of God is an eternal kingdom. The material kingdom of this world is the city of destruction. One day it's coming to an end and coming under judgment. The kingdom of God is the kingdom of ultimate, eternal love and victory. The kingdom of this world is doomed to failure. Have you come into this church tonight, dear friends? I don't want to parody anyone, believe me. But you're like I was when I was young. If you come in with a swagger, I've not much time for this, for religion, and not much time for these little things. Dear friends, I say this to help you. You don't know it, but you've been duped. You're a member of the failing, dying, losing kingdom. The kingdom of this weak, vain, godless world. May God show you, as you bow the knee to Christ and you seek the kingdom of God. Now, our time is running out, but would you bear with me? Because I want to try some illustrations. The text says, seek the kingdom of God. Let's try and find an illustration for seeking. What do you think? How do I seek the kingdom of God? Is it like detectives, perhaps, seeking a criminal, a wrongdoer? Could that illustrate seeking the kingdom of God? Well, no, that won't provide us with an illustration of seeking, because the criminal who is to be sought has covered his tracks. He's wiped his fingerprints. Whatever he's done, murder or theft, he's concocted an alibi. He's taken elaborate steps to put himself out of the way of inquiry. Well, God doesn't do that. If you're seeking the Lord, he's very prominent. He shows you himself and he calls you. Come unto me, he says. He doesn't make himself hard to find. And the detectives, the high-ranking lead detective, and all his assistants, they're using all their skill and arts. They're using forensic science. They're using profiling. They're going house to house, looking for witnesses, looking at CCTV. They're using everything that they have access to. Great skill. You don't need any skill to search for Christ. You just believe his word. So that illustration of searching won't do. It won't fit at all. What a curious approach this is. Illustrations that won't fit. There are many of them. I jotted down one or two. Search for a new drug. Why, the medical researchers and the pharmacologists and all these people looking for a new drug for something. They're trying many alternatives. And then when they think they've got something, well, it's got to be tested on animals, on humans, long trials, last years. May not work. May be too dangerous. Too many implications. Their kind of search is no illustration for searching for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not elusive. You don't try alternatives. You hear about God. You hear about Christ. You hear about the Savior who came to suffer and die in our place and take our punishment for us. You hear about him in whom you have to trust. And it's not an experiment. It's not something that needs trial that may not work. It always works. You come to Christ with all your heart and you repent of your sin and trust in him and you find him. Any old illustration of a search won't do for searching for the kingdom of God. You see on the television a catastrophe, a mudslide in another land, a collapse of buildings. And there go the rescuers searching for victims. And it's hard toil, tearing away at rubble. And then they find something. And unfortunately, it's just a body. And then they put out the equipment, the listening equipment, and they're listening for cries or for breathing or trying to trace movement or heat. All these arts, that won't illustrate searching for the kingdom of God. Doesn't require any arts, any science, any hard labor. There's no failure. You're certain to find if your heart is sincere and you repent of your sin and you trust in him. That won't do as an illustration. I could think of many other illustrations also. Here's one which is very simple, which is nearer to the mark. You go somewhere with a map, and it's a good map, and you're looking for your destination. The instructions are very clear. The map is reliable. All your friends have used this map. It's a perfect map. They've said to you, this is true, this is certain. All you need to do is follow the map, and you know that it's accurately telling you where your destination is, and it'll guide you there. That's more like the search for the kingdom of God. The map, of course, is the word of God. The message of the gospel of Christ. The message of a Savior who came from glory to suffer and to die in indescribable agony, to take the punishment of my sin on my behalf and for all who trust in him. And all I have to do is follow the map. And the map, in effect, takes me by the route of repentance and faith. And if I repent of my sin and put my trust in Christ, not a bit in myself, I'm a lost sinner who deserves only condemnation, but entirely in Christ, he will hear me, he will forgive me, and I will be saved. Rather seek ye the kingdom of God, says the Lord Jesus Christ. Search for him a revealed destination. No works, nothing for me to do. No, follow the map, drive your car. You don't have to get out and walk. You don't have to tow a weight behind you. There's nothing you can do to contribute to this. Just fall on your knees in repentance and trust and ask the Lord for his forgiving love and for his mercy, and he will receive you and bless you. It's not a search for elusive objectives. If you're searching in this material world for satisfaction and happiness, it's a vain search. But you search for the kingdom by sincere repentance and faith, you will find. I tried, said Mrs. Emma Frances Bevan in her little gospel hymn. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, but the waters failed. E'en as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wailed. A lady wrote a little gospel hymn towards the end of the 19th century, which became very popular in its day, but it was her own story. She was a well-to-do woman. She was a poet in her own right, translated a lot of German poetry and hymns into English. She was the daughter of a bishop who went away from the Lord, away from the teaching of the scripture, married a rich banker, tried riches. In fact, her banker husband founded the bank, for what it's worth, became Barclays Bank at the present time. But that's way, way ago. So it was her own testimony. She tried this vain world for satisfaction. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord. But she came to the Lord, and that's what we must do. Search for the God who is there. Put your trust in the Saviour, who is God and became man, and has certainly come to earth and died for sinners who trust in him. The only hard thing, and I say this in conclusion, the only hard thing about searching for the kingdom of God is in me. It isn't the terrain. It isn't an uphill slope. It isn't that God is concealing himself. It isn't that I need skills and works. The only thing that may make the search hard is me. What's the trouble? My unwillingness to repent, my rotten pride, my unwillingness to trust, my unwillingness to yield my life to God as my Lord and my God and my ruler. The trouble, the only trouble, is locked up in me. But if by the help of God I can come and trust and repent, I will most surely find him. And eternal security, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you, freely and without cost, to give you the kingdom of God. Search for him, friends. Break out of the universal human search, which is vain and a failure, and seek and find the Lord and new life and life eternal. Let's pray. O God, our gracious Heavenly Father, look upon us all. Break those shackles with this present world. O Lord, break our quest, our foolish, vain quest for satisfaction, fame, fortune, anything entirely from this vain material world. Show us Christ, show us eternity, show us our need. Draw sinners to thyself. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt work in every heart, we ask these things in the name of our Saviour, for his sake. Amen. Let's sing together the hymn number 404. Hymn number 404. I bring my sins to thee.